Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've come this evening to the most important question regarding the Lord's Supper. Why? Why do you need the Lord's Supper? Now, by this point, this question should be easily answered, but it's always good to drive the point home. The answer comes in two parts. The first part is because you are sinners. You heard from Psalm 51, a psalm written by David, being confronted by the prophet Nathan about his sin with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, where he says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgments. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." St. Paul also speaks of the sinfulness of man in Romans chapter 3, where he says, "For we have already charged that all, Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, 'None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift." Jesus has seen your sinful state, knowing that you cannot escape sin on your own. No matter how hard you try to win your own forgiveness, it just doesn't work. You always fall back into sin. And this is the point that David and Paul make in these texts, that there is no one who is righteous in and of themselves. Everyone is sinful. And all sins, as David confesses, are a sin against God. For all sins, even sins against the neighbor, are sins that break God's law. And so, since you are a sinner, what hope is there for you? Well, this is part two of that answer. Yes, you are a sinner, and you need the forgiveness from God. Jesus says in John chapter 6, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." And we hear again from Jesus in the upper room that Maundy Thursday, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus does not just leave you, sinful humanity, on your own to rot in your corruption. but he gives you the means of forgiveness and salvation. He goes to the cross, where this whole Lenten season is building up and progressing towards, where Jesus, having taken on human flesh, now fulfills the law, receives the punishment from God himself, drinks that cup of wrath against sin, and is crucified to pay the price for you. And we will celebrate that resurrection, that life that he has won on Easter. And so what does this have to do with the Lord's Supper? Well, in the Lord's Supper, Jesus continues to give you and applies to you that very forgiveness. The Lord's Supper connects you to the cross, just as baptism does, as we hear from St. Paul in Romans chapter 6, that you are baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection. In the Lord's Supper, you eat and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ. At the altar, you receive the forgiveness won for you at the cross, given to you to eat and drink here at Christ's altar. It is his body and his blood, given and shed for you, that forgives you of all of your sins and strengthens your faith. It is that cleansing that all Christians should desire. And in fact, this is how many of the church fathers speak when they talk about the Lord's Supper. St. Basil the Great says, "What is the mark of a Christian? That he be purified of all defilement of the flesh and of the spirit in the blood of Christ, perfecting sanctification in the fear of God and the love of Christ, and that he have no blemish nor spot nor any such thing, that he be holy and blameless, and so eat the body of Christ and drink his blood." Elsewhere, he writes, "To communicate each day and to partake of the holy body and blood of Christ is good and beneficial. For he says quite plainly, 'He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.' Who can doubt that to share continually in life is the same thing as having life abundantly?" Saint Gregory of Nyssa writes this, "He offered himself for us, victim and sacrifice, and priest as well, and Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. When did he do this? When he made his own body food, and his own blood drink, for his disciples." St. John Chrysostom writes, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not communion of the blood of Christ? Very trustworthily and awesomely does he say it. For what he is saying is this: what is in the cup is that which flowed from his side, and we partake of it. He called it a cup of blessing, because when we hold it in our hands, that is how we praise him in song, wondering and astonished at his indescribable gift, blessing him because of his having poured out this very gift, so that we might not remain in error." And Saint Cyril of Alexandria says, "Christ said," indicating the bread and wine, "this is my body, and this is my blood, in order that you might not judge what you see to be a mere figure. The offerings, by the hidden power of God Almighty, are changed into Christ's body and blood, and by receiving these, we come to share in the life-giving and sanctifying efficacy of Christ." And lastly, we hear from Saint Augustine, "He who made you men, for your sakes was himself made man, to ensure your adoption as many sons into an everlasting inheritance, the blood of the only begotten has been shed for you. If in your own reckoning you have held yourselves cheap because of your earthly frailty, now assess yourselves by the price paid for you. Meditate, as you should, upon what you eat, what you drink, to what you answer, Amen. The Lord's Supper is a gracious gift of God, given to sinners, given to you for the forgiveness of your sins. And we see this continue in the Lutheran confessions that we confess in our lives. In the Large Catechism, Luther writes, "Therefore, it is appropriately called food of the soul, for it nourishes and strengthens the new creature. For in the first instance, we are born anew through baptism. However, our human flesh and blood, as I have said, have not lost their old skin. There are so many hindrances and attacks of the devil and the world that we often grow weary and faint, and at times even stumble. Therefore, the Lord's Supper is given as a daily food and sustenance, so that our faith may be refreshed and strengthened, and that it may not succumb in the struggle, but become stronger and stronger." And in the Small Catechism, in the section Christian Questions and Their Answers in preparation for the Lord's Supper, the question is asked, what should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently? And Luther's answer is this. First, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord. And second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given. But the question arises, what happens if you don't feel the need to receive the Lord's Supper, or you don't have that desire to have it week in and week out? Well, Luther, in the very next question in that section, answers that very thing. The question, but what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament? Answer, to such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7, namely that the flesh is sinful. Second, he should look around and see whether he is still in the world, and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15 and 16, and in 1 John 2 and 5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without, as the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 6, and 2 Timothy 2. So why do you need the Lord's Supper? Well, the answer is because you are a sinner who needs forgiveness. This will always be the case until you die or until Jesus returns. That as long as you live in this sinful flesh, in this sinful world, and have the devil prowling around you, ready to devour you at any moment he can, you need the Lord's Supper. It is in this gift that Christ gives that you receive the forgiveness of sins and the strength to remain steadfast in this life. And so, in all that we have seen, all that we have read, all that you have heard, you see now how important the Lord's Supper is. What it is. That it is the body and blood of Christ under the bread and the wine. Who is to receive it? Those who are repentant of their sins and believe in the words and promises of Christ. When are you to have it? As often as you can. Where can you have it? Where the church gathers together around his word and sacrament. And why? Because in it you receive the forgiveness of sins that Christ won for you on the cross, bestowing upon you eternal life and salvation forever. Therefore, as you enter into Holy Week, remember this great gift of Christ. Remember that this Holy Supper is instituted for you, for your forgiveness, that Maundy Thursday. Remember that it is the blood of Christ shed for you on Good Friday that grants you that forgiveness when you partake of it. And remember that that very Christ given and shed for you lives on Easter Day and lives on to give you continually his body and blood, that you may be strengthened throughout this life unto life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.